If you didn't see in the bulletin what the theme of this sermon was, what would you think it would be? Let's see, we sang Heaven Came Down, and Sweet By and By, Beautiful Shore, and then the last one will be Heaven, and I think the Old Testament, New Testament. So it's probably on Heaven, isn't it? Well, we're so thankful for Pastor Tim Newman coming to share with us today about Heaven.
Thank you, Bill. I knew about 2 weeks ago, the Lord began to move on my heart what to speak on. First, I thought that I would be preaching on the end times, but then I thought, no, when I leave, I'll have 150 people disagreeing with me. And so as I prayed about it and thought about it, the subject of heaven kept coming to me. And on that, I think I'm going to get quite broad agreement today. And what I intend to do and hope to do before this message is over is give you somewhat of a description of heaven. I've never been there, never seen it, don't know firsthand what it's like, but we know what the Word says, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning, a glimpse of what heaven is like. There were Sunday school class with some young boys in it, and the teacher asked them, how many want to go to heaven? And all the boys, the whole class, raised their hand except for one. And the teacher looked at the little boy and said, don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, yeah, I do, but I thought you were getting a load up to go right now. When I was in Bible school some 35 years ago, my teacher in homiletics, which is preaching, for those of you that don't know, he was giving us some instructions on our preaching techniques and whatnot, and he was talking about preaching on heaven and the end times, eternal things, and he said, when you preach on heaven, students, he said, put on your brightest, most glorious face, let your face be radiant, let your countenance shine, he said, you'd have to know him, he said, but when you preach on hell, your ordinary face will do. I am going to begin this morning by reading Revelation chapter 21, and if you would turn there and stand with me, please. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll begin with verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now is the dwelling of God with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic art, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west, and the walls of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. And he measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. And the wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysosparse, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each gate was made of a single pearl. The great city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that as this message goes forth this morning, that your word would accomplish that for which it is intended, and it would bear fruit this day. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless all those who hear and bless your servant today. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The description the scripture gives of heaven causes joy and anticipation to build in our hearts. I dare say that many people, maybe not most of us, maybe most of us, I don't know, go through life with giving nary a thought to heaven until some tragedy happens, and then our minds go towards that place that we call heaven, our eternal home. I remember when, back here a few months ago now, when Doris first received her diagnosis of cancer, we talked quite a bit about heaven, because all of a sudden, that which was out there somewhere, and we knew about it, we believed it, we had faith for it, all of a sudden it became very real to us. And we don't know that she's going to be going there anytime soon, because we believe God does answer prayer, and we are praying for her healing. But if she does, she'll know about it. It's in the scripture, and she studied it. And heaven is a real place. All this week, I've been going around the house, and my poor wife, because she's not out working now, she has to listen to me. I've been going about the house singing songs of heaven. And one of them, and I don't know if you know the same songs I know, but one of them is, heaven is a wonderful place. And even during this service, I was thinking that song was going over and over in my head. Filled with glory and grace, I want to see my, I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to give you three descriptions the Bible gives us about heaven. The first one is that we are told that heaven is a place of unimpeded joy and happiness. I want to thank the person who brought the water up this morning. Unimpeded joy and happiness. Revelation 21:1 that we read said he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And when I read that, I thought of cancer. Because during those first days when my wife and I received the diagnosis, there was a lot of tears, I have to tell you. And those of you that are experiencing the same things in your family, and maybe you are not experiencing it, but you have also shed those tears. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. I especially look forward to the one that says, no more pain. Verse 3 of chapter 22 says, no longer will there be any more curse. We live in a world that is still under the curse. Thank God for his grace, but so many places we see it. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. I just want to pause for a moment. So many books have been written, and so many people talk about the mark of the beast. If I were to ask you, what is the mark of the beast? You'd all be able to rattle off very quickly, 666 in the end times. We talk about the mark of the beast all the time, but do you know, for the child of God, who has the privilege of being ushered into that glorious place called heaven, we will have his name on our foreheads. Hallelujah. And there will be no more night. Chapter 22, verse 12. We didn't read chapter 22, but it says, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. Excuse me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Verse 17, chapter 22. Whoever is thirsty, that would be me, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is given. And again, I can't help but think that song, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, this is what we read. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an eternal inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. And doesn't that describe us today? The grief we experience, the pain we experience in this life. And yet God has given us a tremendous hope in that place that's eternally called heaven. When we arrive at heaven, the past will be taken care of. Aren't you glad for that? He says, I will wipe away all tears. Oh, the joy of that. My mind immediately goes back when I hear that verse to 1976 when my father passed away and I was a senior in high school, and the tears that I shed then. And through the years, as we have had the responsibility of officiating many of our dear church members' funerals, the tears that have been shed. But he says, I will wipe away all tears from their eyes. The tears of pain. Now, I know pain because I've had much pain in my life, but perhaps I don't know anywhere near the pain that you go through. They'll be wiped away, the tears of sorrow. They'll be wiped away. The tears of disappointment, it's all gone. In a moment, the past will be taken care of. The present will be a distant memory. You know, different people have said that when they go to be with the Lord, they want to be in church. And I've heard a lot of preachers say they want to be preaching when they go to be with the Lord. I'm not sure that's such a good idea, because if I was to go to be with the Lord while I'm preaching, we'd have real chaos here, I'm sure. And I don't know. I got to thinking, and I always thought that'd be a good idea, but I got to thinking about it. I think I want to go to be with the Lord when I'm paying my bills. You know, I'm sitting there writing out checks for my bills, and the next second I'm in heaven with the Lord. And then I think, what was I just doing anyway? Oh, yeah. Paying my bills. I don't know. It's a good idea, but we'll see what happens. The present will be a distant memory. And the future will be Jesus. The scripture says, I will be his God. And let me just share with you five or six things that it says. I'm making everything new. I like new things. Don't you like new things? New cars, new houses, new things. But heaven is where the Lord is making everything new. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That means the first and the last. He says, I will give drink without cost. That one's just for me. Excuse me, just sound like a good time. He says, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. You know, you come into Arlington and there are what? Four churches in Arlington. And you can drive around and see them pretty quick. You go into some towns and there's churches, it seems like, on every corner. You know how many churches are going to be in heaven? Zero, because the Lamb is going to be the temple that we worship. Praise God for that. He says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I will give drink without cost. I will be his God. The Lord Almighty is the temple. And then it says, a river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. You all know the saying, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You know what? I believe that heaven is more real than where you sit this morning. I believe that heaven is more real than anything we experience on this earth. And I don't know about you. Oh, I'm not looking forward to the pain that it may take to get there. But I'm so looking forward to being with Jesus in heaven. The Lamb of God will be in the city. The throne of the Lamb of God will be in the city, and they will need no light, for the Lord God will give them light. Chapter 22, verse 6, says, the Lord, the God of spirits of the prophets, hath sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Verse 12 says, behold, I am coming soon. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give this testimony for the churches. And on it goes. The future church is not in stocks and bonds. It's not in gold. It's not in anything we put our hope in this world. The future is in Jesus. I have no other message this morning, and that's what heaven is all about. It's all about Jesus. That's the first description. The second description is that heaven is a place of reunion. The song says, I'll see my father and my mother, my sister and my brother, reign throughout eternity. But best of all, I'll see my Savior and share his blessed favor. This is why I want to go. It's a place of reunion. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be seen. He has many rooms, first of all, that he's going to come and get us. That's the first thing I see. He has many, many mansions, the King James says. He's going to come and get us, and you have a place there. If you're a child of God, you have your reservations. I remember on our honeymoon, yes, I can remember that long ago. We got to the resort where I had reserved for 3 days a place for my wife and I, and they didn't have a room for us. They didn't have a place reserved. And so we had reserved this suite with a king-size bed, you know. So they gave us this great big house, a two-bedroom thing, for our honeymoon. I said, great, you can sleep in one room. I'll sleep in the other. I've got reservations in heaven. He has many rooms. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. A song says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. I don't know what form our relationships will take there. I do know that the Bible says we shall know even as we are known. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 10 says, but when that is as perfect as come, that which is in past will be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Maybe I need to talk more quiet. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I'm known. And so I believe that it's going to be a place of reunion. It's not a misnomer to say that it will be a day of joyful reunion. I think of the unhappiness in life that many people have here. I've pastored for 32 years, and I've seen so much of it. So many people that have endured very difficult sicknesses, that have had marriages that started so blissfully that ended in terrible disappointment, that have had children that they've lost to a premature death. I've seen so much pain. In fact, today 50% of marriages, Christian and not Christians alike, end in divorce. Drugs are rampant. What a pain that we experience here. All of it is going to be wiped away. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what it's going to take. Some people have hearts that are so badly broken. How is he going to heal them? I don't know. But I know that heaven is a place where the Lord is going to touch us and bring that healing into our hearts. Finally, the third description given, that heaven is a place where we will see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Revelation 22:4, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. This will be the ultimate reflection of God's love. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. You probably know this passage. How great is the love the Father hath lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason this world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now are we the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. Notice some positives from these verses. His love is lavished on us. Number one, we are called the children of God. Now are we the children of God. We shall be like him. We shall see him. Jesus says, I will come back and take you to be with me. I will come back and take you to be with me. What a hope. What a hope that we have, church, in Jesus. Somebody once said, if you don't like going to church, you're probably not going to like heaven. See, because church is all about Jesus. We come here to worship him. We come here to sing his praise, to listen to his word preached, to hear him exalted. That's what heaven's going to be. Oh, heaven is a wonderful place. I'm liable to sing it yet. Filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Oh, heaven is a wonderful place. Here we worship him unseen. There we will gaze on his holiness. Here we hear about him. There we shall know him. Here we are flawed with our sin. There we shall be clothed in righteousness. In John 14, 1-6, one of my favorite passages, it says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you might be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. I want to share these verses with you. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Please hear this. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. There is a way for every one of us here to be sure that we're going to be in this wonderful place that's called heaven. Probably most of you already know it, but it says this. Read it again. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. One day Jesus washed me. He cleansed my heart. He washed away the sin. Oh, that doesn't mean I never sin. Unfortunately, I'm still in the flesh and I'm still human. But thank God that he became my Savior and he washed me. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward. Oh, I'm not going to do anything rash or foolish or drive my car fast so I can get there quicker, but I'm looking forward to that place that's called heaven. There's so many people through the years that I've pastored. I remember when I was starting out the pastorate, I didn't really know anybody in heaven except my dad. He died when I was 17 in high school. But then as the years went by, as a pastor, people that I loved, people that were in my churches, began to pass on. Dot Kassaw had leukemia. We saw her pass on. Lucille, can't remember her last name, standing here this morning. She taught me how to fish for bass on the Sopchoppy River in Florida. She developed cancer and she passed on, but not before she found Jesus. And all of the many others that have already gone to heaven. And now I think I understand a little bit of what Hebrews 12:1 is saying when it says, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the prize that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. In church today, you know people as well as I do that have gone before us. They've led the way. They've pointed the way to heaven, to Jesus. Oh, it would be my prayer that this message is not one that is needed soon for my family, but it is my prayer also that every one of us here this morning would have a longing in our heart to be in that place called heaven, to one day be with the person, our Lord Jesus Christ. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. Are you excited about that? I know I am. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. It gives us a description of heaven, and we've only scratched the surface. We've only touched on it this morning. Lord, there are some who maybe think about it a little more seriously than others right now because of circumstances or events in their life. But Lord, let their hearts be encouraged today. This life is but a taste until we get to the real meal, which is our eternal home, eternity with Jesus in heaven. Give us that encouragement of heart. And for those who maybe haven't cast but a glance at heaven, may today they stop to pause and wonder, and Lord, to commit their life to Jesus Christ, so that they too will eternally be with you in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.